good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Good morning, Jane Marie. Jim Marie and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combination of us and maybe Phil Vacchio are here every single weekend talking about estate planning and elder law, everything from wills and powers of attorney to more complicated things like trusts and long-term care at home or elsewhere. It's a call-in show, and you could reach us at 518-476-5900. And if you want to meet with Jane Marie or myself or Phil in one of our four offices up in Queensbury, down in Kingston, in the middle, in Saratoga Springs, and where we are right now in Albany, you can reach us at 518-465-7581. Good morning, Jane Marie. How are you?
I'm doing well. The weather is turning, so I'm happy.
It is turning?
Yes.
John, how much is it turning?
A lot.
Yeah, tell me about it. We have to celebrate these wins.
Today and tomorrow, it'll be lower 50s, but Monday, right now, they're saying 63 with sunshine. No rain, no nothing.
Mm.
So that's Monday. I would take that off if you could.
Jane Marie.
I didn't say that. Tuesday, 64, and then 62 Wednesday. Then it goes down to the 40s by Thursday.
Who's talking about Thursday? Thursday is like
five days ahead
a little bit. So, you know.
It sounds lovely.
Oh, it does.
Are you going to hit the golf course, Dave?
There, nothing's open. It's going to be sloshy anyway.
Oh, okay.
But I was thinking about hitting the indoor golf course.
Okay, get ready.
For asking. Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right.
You got to work on your game, you know.
Right. Yeah, getting ready for the spring.
Yeah. Well, I hope, I'm crossing my fingers that all this snow, because the snow looks gross now. You know, it's nice when it falls,
and now it's
like dirty the dirty snow.
Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully over the next 5 days, it goes away. Jamie.
Hope so.
Yeah,
hope
that's
so.
What I'm hoping, that it's all gone.
I want to hear birds chirping. I want to hear, you know, I want to see some, is it possible that things start to bud if it's 4 or 5 days of 60 degrees?
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be nice to see that.
It's another, sign of the times, not just the weather kind of getting a little warmer, Jane Marie, but John reminded me we have to spring forward this weekend.
Yes, we do. So
before you go to bed tonight, right?
Right.
Clocks ahead 1 hour, and you lose an hour of sleep tomorrow.
We gain an hour of sunshine while we're awake.
Yes, I know, but you don't in the morning. Well, it'll be dark now.
It'll be darker in the morning.
It'll be dark till about 7:15.
I think I don't know, Jane Marie, if you're an early riser. I'm an early riser.
I am too,
So we'll be in the dark in the morning. That's
we'll
all right.
In the dark. That's okay. I'm still going to be up.
Early riser.
Look, listen, there's nothing more depressing than, 4:40 in the afternoon and it's starting to get dark.
Oh,
it's December.
No
so
doubt about it. No
we'll,
doubt
we'll take it.
Yeah, I think at this point in time, we've all had enough of winter.
Yeah.
Right? So we're ready.
Jane Marie, last week, Phil and I were on it. We were educating John on what is and what is not an escape room. And we were giving him some education there.
Escape room.
Right.
And then we kind of parlayed that into a, maybe like a problem solving, that's what those kinds of fun experiences are. And what we do every day at work is very similar to that. And we kind of took it, because we could probably talk for hours and hours about all the different types of things we do. We really took it in the direction of long-term care and solving those kinds of puzzles. And, there's certain steps that, you need a key for this to open up this to then open up that and so on. And along that same note, I was thinking that maybe we touch on more estate planning type sides of that equation. In the if there was a theme for today, it's kind of like square peg meet round hole, because oftentimes we're hearing clients who want things and may need things, and those things may be different.
Right.
What they want and what they need might not be attainable. And sometimes the facts make it a little more complicated. So I have a couple of different scenarios. I also have a long-term care scenario or two. And if you don't mind, I'd love to pick your brain on these kinds of things. I know you've seen it time and time again.
Sure. I loved the escape room. That was fun.
Yeah. Which one did you have, by the way?
It was the Interpol had an escape.
You were working for Interpol.
Yes, that's right. Nice.
Did you find the jewel thief or whatever it was?
We did. We found the jewel thief.
Was he a jewel thief?
Yes, he was.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it was.
Whenever Interpol's involved, it's a heist at a museum, of course.
Yeah, that was really fun.
So a lot of, I think on the estate planning side, it's the wishes of the clients And then the facts, and we kind of put together a plan. And I think on the long-term care side, a lot of times it's the facts that come first, and then the wishes of the client come second, because it's a little hard sometimes to pull off what they want. And so on the estate planning side, if a client comes into you and they say, well, I want to leave everything to my kids.
Okay.
That's good. Fine. Right. You could obviously make an estate plan that works that way. Everything to my spouse and everything to my kids. And I'd say kind of easy peasy estate planning.
Yeah. Straightforward. Easy. Right.
Now let's sprinkle in that it's everything to my second wife or money to my second wife or house use to my second wife for her life. And then I want everything at the end of the day to go back to my kids. That extra layer ends up being a lot of complication in your world.
And yes, it makes it trickier because you want to guarantee that the second wife doesn't leave it to someone else.
Yeah.
Right. So you can do things, but then, so for example, you can do a trust.
Yeah.
So sometimes the solution, though, creates more problems, right? So, I mean, the perfect solution is leave everything to your second wife in a trust. After she dies, it's going to go to your children, so it's guaranteed.
Well, and Jammer, I'd say if it was, you know, your first wife, right?
Yes.
Your only wife.
Right.
You know, and you're married and you have kids, it's really easy because you can do everything to my spouse. No rules on it. And the assumption is that you know, we're on the same page and my wife is also going to want to leave things to our children.
That's right.
And when it's second spouse, you kind of hit on it. We can't get away with those easy peasy wills, everything to spouse, because if things happen in the wrong order, Jamer, you cannot guarantee that the kids ever get anything, because once if second wife survives you, they have the right to do whatever they want with their own money.
Yeah, they can make their own will then afterwards and leave it to their kids. They can leave it to the pool boy. They can...
It's always the pool boy.
Always the pool boy. I know.
Never anything else, John.
There's something there.
In a related story, Jamie is building a pool. So,
okay, I don't know what that means. There we go. Yeah.
So it's really hard to explain this, I think, on the radio. Maybe we should have a different topic. But sometimes it's easy to kind of draw things out. But one of the main goals, guys, that Jamie has when she's putting together a plan for you is we want flexibility with the plan. But we, you know, when we get to these, you know, more complicated situations, sometimes we do need some strict rules in there as well.
But yeah, we do. So let's say this is the case. I'm explaining it to you and saying, okay, well, we're going to do a trust, so we make sure it goes to your kids. Then who's going to be the trustee of the trust?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the kids, is it?
That's going to derail this a little bit.
I think
bit.
John should be the trustee. Probably have a better chance at having
I have a good trustee.
Well, so where does the creativity come in, right? So, all right, so you do a trust and you say things go to my wife in trust for her, or maybe she's got life use of the house because it's the house that I bought before I had ever met the second spouse. Well, not every asset you have is part of your, you know, legal estate plan that we're creating. So you might have retirement assets, you might have life insurance assets, brokerage accounts, obviously real estate. So we don't need one set of rules for everything. Maybe the way we do things, and I think you've done this before, is where something like life insurance does go to the kids.
Right.
Something like retirement does go to the kids. But with the other things that we're building, you know, in our new relationship, and, you know, the house maybe does go to spouse.
Right.
With the idea, everyone's idea that, yeah, that's going to trickle down to the kids. But if there's a falling out after my passing, if there's, you know, someone blindsides someone and changes the plan entirely, you know what, Jamie, you're going to leave it just to your kids. You're not going to keep my kids in your plan anymore. At least I'll guarantee for myself that at least they got X, Y, and Z assets.
That's right. They got something at your death, and they don't have to wait, you know, for the second spouse to die. You don't want that to be the case.
Yeah. And, you know, we've said it a lot of times, Jamie, where sometimes, you know, the second relationships, they've known your kids longer than the kids can remember.
That
you know?
Could be. Right.
And, you know, so we're not saying that every situation's the same, but it does get complicated because there's a reality that when you inherit money or you have money, you get to choose what happens to that money. And you can choose to no longer give it, you know, five days after someone passes away, of course, nothing's different. 20 years later, when you haven't really come around and talked to me at all since your father passed away, well, I don't know what I want to do with my money. And it gets...
We see that a lot. So I think giving something to the children on the first death is a great idea, you know. I've seen the case where the house goes to the second wife.
Yeah.
And then the kids are saying, well, you know, maybe she's younger than dad. And now we're waiting.
Of course she's younger than dad.
Come on. Of course she is. Oh, geez. That's a counterpart to the pool boy.
Right? Yeah. So where it gets even more complicated, Jamarie, is if the reason why they're coming to see is because, you know, they're planning for long-term care needs, where we typically do one trust with lots of flexibility for both, you know, creators of the trust. Mm-hmm. So in that instance, we might do two trusts. We might do one trust and say if dad dies first, we lock up some of these, you know, provisions about changing beneficiaries on things. And we got to balance that flexibility with the structure. And we're trying to get something that bends, doesn't break, you know, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So I did something like that for a client where they were worried about, you know, in our trust, we say that the grantors can change the beneficiaries.
Yeah.
Right? So even if
it's a big power, by the way, right? It means you guys, if you do this trust, you can change your mind.
Right.
Huge.
But in this case, they were worried about second spouse. So we put in a provision that after the first spouse dies, there's no right to change the beneficiaries.
And so that solves the estate planning riddle. And then the question is, well, what happens if we need to, you know, get money out of this trust for you know, stepmom?
Right.
Well, if one of those kids doesn't agree, we are kind of locked in. And that's that balance that we're kind of talking about. So I love that. That's a perfect solution. And I'd say if wife also had assets, maybe then you're doing two trusts as opposed to one.
Right. In that case, everything wasn't in that trust, right? So you can... So it wasn't affecting everything. There were other assets that she could access freely, but this was the house, which was really important.
When people, Jamarie, are like, do you like what you do? I'm like, I love what I do because it really is like every day is that escape room because we were saying that last week. In those rooms, they give you all sorts of information and some of little tidbits might really matter and other things may not matter. And we don't know what's going to matter or not.
No, that's why I love listening to their stories and hearing about them. And we're experienced, so we're going to say, oh, that makes a difference, right? As we hear certain things. Right?
It's a call-in show, Jamarie. Mm-hmm. It's been a year since I've had a phone call while I'm on here. You get phone calls all the time, so I don't want to talk about it. 518-476-59.
It'd be my fault, too, but I'm here. I'm answering. I'm looking right at the phone.
Are you not looking at the phone?
I am looking at the phone,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, 518-476-5900 if you want us to help you with your back pattern this morning. So second relationships, Jamarie, obviously that's a big one. It's actually very common. And I think the intersection of that and the long-term care becomes important. One more wrinkle, if I may, on it before we get to the break. If we actually do have long-term care needs, spouse becomes really important.
Yes.
Where we might want to move everything to a spouse because there's a spousal exemption. There's no, you know, everyone talks about 5-year lookbacks. It doesn't apply if I move money to Jamarie because, you know, we're married. I'm going to move everything to her.
Right.
And so second spouse gets that added wrinkle where is there a wink, wink that spouse is going to play ball and make sure everything does go back the way it was.
They may not. That's a tricky part because that's going to get you eligible for Medicaid, but now they're in control of all of your assets. So you may have to update your will or do a trust or...
We'll be back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Jane Marie and I, in the first half of the show, we're talking to you about how lovely the weather is going to be this weekend and this early week.
So nice.
Mm-hmm.
Still going to be, you know, 30s, high 30s at night, but, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's some sunshine.
It's going
go for
in
a
the
walk.
Right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get your car washed, by the way, because if you do, about 10 minutes later, you're going to have to get it washed again because everything's going to be wet there.
But absolutely right.
Anyway,
that's
true. Actually, whatever you want. Get your car washed.
Well, or wait a week, right?
We were also talking about how sometimes we're doing lots of problem solving. And, you know, last week it was escape rooms. Sometimes the facts we get don't fit into the wishes that the client wants. And it's great to want things. It gets a little more complicated because Jay Marie's job, my job, Phil's job is to take what you just said and put it in writing in a way that's going to stand the test of time. It's got to be flexible. It's got to age with you. We need to make a left turn if it turns out that one of our kids isn't doing so well.
That's right.
And we were talking about second relationships and how do we, you know, balance spouse, second spouse, and kids. Sometimes just everything going to kids gets complicated, Jamie, because kids are not all the same.
Right. So usually I'll ask, you know, of course I ask how many children, but are you concerned about any one of them? Is there anything that I need to know?
How's everyone doing?
Yeah.
How are we still love
doing?
Them? And they say, we still love them. Right. If they say that reaction that I know all's well, if they're like, well, you know, but
know.
Tim's having a tough go, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So we want to kind of piece that out. And we need to know that because if we're leaving money to your child and they, you know, they have a gambling problem, an addiction problem, or they just can't manage money that well, we need to know that, right?
And you can't just say everything to my kids and call it a day.
No, we have to do something different then.
So let's pick this apart, Jay Marie. If it is that Timmy's got a gambling problem or a substance abuse problem, that doesn't necessarily mean that mom and dad do not want to leave him money.
Right.
They may want to leave him exactly the same amount, but they're going to say, and they usually say it outright to us that, you know, we'd like them to get it over time.
Yes. Usually they want to make sure it doesn't get spent. So again, we're going to come back to trust. Trusts are a really great solution, right? Very fun. And the question is, all right, we can do a trust. How much do you want to give them? Are we going to spread it out over time? Are we giving the trustee discretion? But then the second part of that is who's the trustee over the trust?
Sure. So let's play this out. Timmy's got a brother, Frank. Mm-hmm. Tim and Frank, I guess. And Tim's got some issues. Frank doesn't.
Right.
Client says, well, Tim's share will just be in trust.
Yep.
Easy sentence. Right. That's it. We'll hold it in trust. Well, Jamer, you got to fill in all those gaps.
All the blanks.
So over what period of time?
Right.
Is it, you know, 5% every year? So it's 20 years and then they get all the money at that point. Mm-hmm. Is it that they're getting nothing, but the trustee has lots of discretion?
Right.
It could be that we're holding money for years and years, decades and decades, perhaps.
Yes. Right.
And you're saying who's going to be trustee, and I'm putting my finger on my nose to say not me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be trustee of that.
No.
I don't think you do.
No.
And I'm sure is pretty sure that Frank, brother Frank, doesn't want to do it either.
No. Frank doesn't want to have to be the one to tell his brother, no, you can't have that money.
Oh, come on, Frank. I need some money.
Come on.
You can do it. You have the discretion. It says right there.
Right.
You could give me the money.
Right.
It's tough.
That's tough.
It's tough being Frank.
You don't want to set that up for lifetime, right?
Unintended consequences.
Yes.
So there's obviously the relationship between siblings, and it's putting siblings in very tough spots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. Well, maybe we'll have a bank be the trustee. Is there enough money for the bank to be interested in trustee? We like the idea of family. And by the way, we're just kind of poking holes in everything right now, right?
Yes,
there are solutions where it's a bank. There are solutions where it's Frank.
Right.
There are solutions where, you know, there's such a tight plan or the timeline is so perfect or we have, you know, an acknowledgement by, you know, I forgot the names. What was the name of the first guy?
Tim. Yeah.
There's an acknowledgement by Tim that he's got a problem.
Yeah.
Right. That's the best case scenario. So he knows he's going to get some money, and that money is going to pay his rent. It's going to do this. It's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But where that doesn't exist, we still need to land the plane. We still need to figure this out for the client and come up with language, again, that's balancing that flexibility and that discretion.
Yeah, it's hard to navigate. Sometimes I've worked through this with families, and, you know, we set a certain amount to go to Tim every year. So even if Frank's the trustee, he doesn't have any flexibility, right? Yeah. He's like, I'm just giving you $2,000 a month, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of times we say to the Franks of the world, the trustees of the world, you be good cop, we'll be bad cop. And you say, hey, look, I'd love to give you more money. The attorney said that I got to give you just this amount.
That's right.
And kind of downplay the discretion. We always, you know, almost always want lots and lots and lots of discretion on trustees, because anything can happen, and we want the ability to pivot any which way.
Right.
But what comes with that is, you know, pulling on the heartstrings and trying to convince people. It gets very, very, very complicated. And then, you know, in a way, Jamie, it's less complicated the more documented the need is. Because if it's actually a, you know, a disability, and we're worried about, you know, Social Security income, Social Security disability, we're worried about keeping certain benefits.
Right.
It's almost easier for trustee, because then there's some hard and fast rules for what they can and can't do.
Right. And sometimes it's just age. I'm sure you'll hear this a lot, you know.
How young I look? I hear it all the time.
Yes, I know. That's right. So let's say Timmy doesn't have an addiction problem, but he's 24 and doesn't know how to manage money for the life of him, right?
Right.
So we can have it set up where he gets a certain amount every year, and he gets it at 40, maybe, right? And we're hoping that by 40, he's going to know how to spend money.
How old are your kids, by the way, out of curiosity?
24.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I was hoping that was going to be the answer.
Yeah.
Just picked that out of nowhere. Huh,
yeah, 24. John? Where'd that come from?
It'll be thinking ahead, though, yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right, though. And I, you know, the language I like to use is 22, 25, 30 with staggered amounts of money.
Right.
I don't know if you have a go-to...
I have 25 and 30, but as my kids get older, I'm thinking like 35 or 40, maybe.
Well, and you're right to feel, I mean, not about your kids necessarily, but you're right. People are right to feel that way, because it's not just what's in the bank.
Right.
It's now that value of the house. It's the retirement accounts. It's the life insurance policies.
Right.
It's possible, you know, if God forbid something happened to you, it may be... Someone has to be sued. Maybe a hospital needs to be sued.
Right.
So it might be lots and lots of money, and you know, no longer having.
So I'll be. I was creative. I'll share a little bit from my plan, because one kid's at home, one kid's out, but they kind of come back and forth. So I was thinking about this: if we both die tomorrow, right? They're going to need the house for a certain period of time. So in my trust, I said that the trustee keeps the house, and I left, you know,
a pile of money.
A pile of money to be kept in trust to support the house for, I think I said 10 years.
Okay.
And then they can decide whether one wants to buy it or they want to sell it. But, like, no one has to worry for 10 years.
That's great. So they can keep developing their careers and whatever path they have.
Right.
That's
they wonderful. Can figure out what they want, but they have the house going. And, that was a little... Because otherwise, they could sell the house, right?
Yeah. John, do you have a question?
No.
Oh. I thought you were chiming in there.
Right.
So there's got to be some sort of plan. And again, we want to do that balance. Kids in trouble, you know, it makes life a little more complicated. We always in our documents have language just in case it turns out people are in trouble down the road. So, you know, I call it the knucklehead paragraph. That's just about everything we do, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying we're going to hold money, but we want to give the executor or the trustee those abilities just in case.
They could hold money back if they see something in the future. That's right.
Now, Jamie, you mentioned trust. And obviously, there's a standalone trust. You could actually do a revocable trust or a Medicaid trust.
Right.
You also could have that same language just in a basic will. So like the kinds of things you're talking about, it might be... Someone came to you and they have, you know, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old. And the language you put in their will is essentially these trusts.
Yes.
But it's contained inside the will.
Yeah, that's something people get confused on. When I'm talking about trust, they think it has to be set up now. And you don't have to do that now. Because
at those ages.
At those ages. Yeah. The will is where the trusts are set up. And, you know, normal circumstances, you're not going to die until 40, 50 years from now, right? So, and we're just putting that trust language in there in case something happens sooner. And you can change that. As your kids get older, you're going to change that trust and change the terms.
Yeah, and you might go from a will to a trust. You might go from this kind of trust to the trust that's more towards long-term care needs down the road. And we want you to have that ability to evolve the plan. Now, this last one that I had that I scribbled down for like the estate planning, we may want something that's great, but it's really facts that dictate whether we can do it or not, is powers of attorney or the lack thereof.
Yes.
So a lot of times, now we're going to cross into long-term care a little bit. Clients say, well, I need to change this document or you know what, my dad did have a falling out with their second spouse and they're no longer together. He needs to update his will or needs to update his trust to reflect no more life use for spouse.
Right.
Or maybe it's going to be that we do need to move money around to get eligibility for Medicaid and the power of attorney, it doesn't exist. Or what I've seen a lot, unfortunately, Jamie, last couple days is power of attorney exists. Not only does it exist, it was done a couple years ago or a year ago. And it's missing a very crucial element.
It doesn't have gifting powers.
So do you mind explaining what that means?
Right. So gifting powers are what is going to let you do long-term care planning.
Yeah.
So you can transfer money out of that individual's name. You can put it in a trust. The gifting power is what you really need to set up a trust. Because putting money in a trust is a gift.
Yeah. So you put a house in. If you put your house into your trust, your name is on it no matter what.
Right.
But you didn't get paid any money when you signed that deed.
Right.
It's technically considered a gift. If you want to amend your trust, if you want to change your plan down the road, you obviously can do it yourself. If you're incapacitated, you're unable to, we want your power of attorney to be able to amend your trust in line with your wishes.
Right.
And we can't do that without those kinds of powers. We have a couple of Hail Marys this actually the next couple of weeks here where emergency consults going to go see mom in a nursing facility.
Yeah.
Hopefully she still has her wits about her. Hopefully she remembers the old power of attorney because when I give her the new one, it looks pretty close to similar, you know, identical. But it's missing these provisions about gifting transactions, the ability to add more money to the trust, the ability to do the things that can keep us at home long term.
Right.
And it's great to want things. We need documents that make it all happen. It could be that trust. It could be a will. It could be the estate planning piece. It could just be a really, really good power of attorney that allows your agents to carry the load for you down the road to do your bidding for you.
Yeah. Next, I'm going to go to a nursing home also. And this couple had some assets separate and he's in the nursing home. So we need that power of attorney to gift the assets to the spouse.
Right.
And we're going to do a spousal refusal Medicaid. But all of that's not possible until we go there and get the power of attorney signed.
Are you going there with a witness yourself?
Yeah.
It's really complicated to do all this, guys. You know, Maddie and I were in Saratoga yesterday in the hospital doing it. And, you know, people at the hospital, even though they might have a conversation with the client every day and the client is clearly okay, they probably are going to be prohibited from being a witness. Their facility may say, hey, you can't do it. So now, I mean, think about it. We have Jay Marie going. We have someone else from the firm going.
Right.
No one is pro bono. Now it's costing an arm and a leg because we didn't have the right powers at the right time.
That's right. That would have been so easy. But it's, you know, this lady was so thankful because she was prepared to spend down those funds. So, you know, if we can get this done, it's really great for the whole family.
Very good, John. Look at that. Unreal.
The time goes so fast.
Perfecto.
Turn back, turn forward your clocks, guys.
Spring ahead.
Spring ahead. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.